Arjuna speaking, who is the Lord of sacrifice and how does he live in the body, O Madhusudana? And how can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? I'll phrase it and you can repeat. Who is the Lord of sacrifice?
Who is the Lord of sacrifice?
And how does he live in the body?
And how does he live on the body?
O Madhusudan.
O Madhusudan.
And how can those engaged
in
devotional service know you at the time of death?
Okay, so if we could all mute at this time.
Okay. Lord of sacrifice, quote unquote, may refer to either Indra or Vishnu. Vishnu is the chief of the primal demigods, including Brahma and Shiva. And Indra is the chief of the administrative demigods. Both Indra and Vishnu are worshipped by yajna performances. But here, Arjuna asks, who is actually the Lord of yajna, or sacrifice, and how the Lord is residing within the body of a living entity? Arjuna addresses the Lord as Madhusudana because Krishna once killed a demon named Madhu. Actually, these questions, which are the nature of doubts, should not have arisen in the mind of Arjuna, because Arjuna is a Krishna-conscious devotee. Therefore, these doubts are like demons. Since Krishna is so expert in killing demons, Arjuna here addresses him as Madhusudan, so that Krishna might kill the demon doubts that arise in Arjuna's mind. Now, the word Prayana Kale in this verse is very significant, because whatever we do in life will be tested at the time of death. Arjuna is very anxious to know those who are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness. What should be their position at that final moment? At the time of death, all the bodily functions are disrupted and the mind is not in a proper condition. Thus, disturbed by the bodily situation, one may not be able to remember the Supreme Lord. Maharaj Kulashekar, the great devotee, prays, my dear Lord, just now I am quite healthy and it is better that I die immediately so that the swan of my mind can seek entrance at the stem of your lotus feet. The metaphor is used because the swan, a bird of the water, takes pleasure in digging into the lotus flowers. Its sporting proclivity is to enter the lotus flower. Maharaj Kulashekar says to the Lord, now my mind is undisturbed and I am quite healthy. If I die immediately thinking of your lotus feet, then I am sure that my performance of your devotional service will become perfect. But if I happen to wait for my natural death, then I do not know what will happen, because at that time, the bodily functions will be disrupted, my throat will be choked up, and I do not know whether I shall be able to chant your name. Better let me die immediately. Arjuna questions how a person can fix his mind on Krishna's lotus feet at such a time. Om Gyantaramandasya Gananjana Shuakaya Chakshur Amulitamina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I'm going to read the first verse and then the second verse of this chapter. Arjuna inquired, O my Lord, O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? What is the self? What a fruit of activities? What is this material manifestation, and what are the demigods? Please explain this to me. verse 2. Who is the Lord of sacrifice, and how does he live in the body, O Madhusudan? And how can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? So it's clear here that Arjuna is asking these questions for the benefit of the common man. Similarly, I read in Bhagavatam today that Vidura approached Maitreya Rishi in a similar mood, although he was a devotee of Krishna, fully understanding Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and wanted to hear about pastimes of Krishna. In a humble spirit, he inquired about more preliminary spiritual topics that would be especially beneficial for the common man. Uddhava, on the other hand, in the 11th canto, was not as clear on this. And at some point, Uddhava asked a question of the Lord about something he had said. And then the Lord's response was that actually he was surprised at such a question, because he told him that the instructions that he was giving him were simply meant for him to remember and repeat to Narayan Rishi and the sages at Bhadarak Ashram for the benefit of humanity. And then Krishna made it clear that he was speaking, you know, for the universal benefit, and that the instructions were not personally directed to Uddhava, who he then said was his best devotee, that he loved more than his very self. So Arjuna is facilitating Krishna's presentation here. It's clear from the first two verses. And he also does this in other chapters. And that does not exclude the first verse of the 12th chapter. We had a discussion in one of the morning classes, that recently, that this first verse in the 12th chapter, in connection with the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti, had a different spin on it or meaning than Srila Prabhupada's purport, or the, if you just took it at face value. But Srila Prabhupada, he dedicated his Bhagavad Gita to Baladeva Yibhusan, and it's well known that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he reads the verses a little differently in places, and sometimes his interpretations are different. But Prabhupada was going with the commentary of Baladev in his Bhagavad Gita. So the verse is Evam Satata Yukta Ye Bhaktastvam Paryupasate. And the translation is, Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect, those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested? And it was mentioned that, you know, Arjuna is not dull, which he isn't. But, you know, there's different angles of vision. And, you know, Arjuna, in some places, his questions are rhetorical, something like a straight man. Something like Ed McMahon used to do to set up for a joke for Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show. I mean, he's just setting Krishna up to speak something. So Arjuna is desiring to hear from Krishna about the superiority of bhakti. And even though some of these things have been said before, and in the 11th chapter, Krishna has just manifested the universal form. So now this leading question will give Krishna an opportunity to spend pretty much the entire chapter showing that of the different processes for realization of the absolute truth, bhakti, yoga, or devotional service, the highest. So Srila Prabhupada takes the opportunity to explain the difference between the two main schools of transcendentalists for his neophyte audience, Western audience, who are basically entrenched in impersonal samskaras. I mean, we don't even know how impersonal we are. You know, the dealings of devotees are very different than some of the dealings we've had to endure over the years. Anyway, Krishna has now explained This is the purport, Prabhupada's purport on that same verse. Krishna has now explained about the personal, the impersonal, and the universal, and has described all kinds of devotees and yogis. Generally, the transcendentalists can be divided into two classes. One is the impersonalist, and the other is the personalist. The personalist devotee engages himself with all energy in the service of Supreme Lord. The impersonalist also engages himself not directly in the service of Krishna, but in meditation on the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifest. And yes, there may be, there has to be bhakti mixed in with any anything, yoga, shankhya, it doesn't matter. It doesn't work unless Krishna sanctions it. So there's got to be a little bhakti, a little humility in there. So going back to the eighth chapter, we can understand that Arjuna is asking questions that flow from the end of the seventh chapter. So the last two verses of the seventh chapter are, intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. They are actually Brahman because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities. Then the 30th verse, those in full consciousness of me, who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation of the demigods and of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death. So going back to the second verse of the 8th chapter, who is the Lord of sacrifice and how does he live in the body? O Madhusudana. And how do those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? So Srila Prabhupada in the purport refers to the Vedic Lord of Sacrifice can be the guna avatars are mentioned, Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva. But Indra is also mentioned. It's interesting they had the Indra Yajna in Vrindavan before Krishna threw the monkey wrench in that one. But Indra is also the object of some sacrifices, as is Vishnu. And in the third chapter, Krishna has already explained that this universe is set up for sacrifices, actually to the demigods. So in the 10th verse, Krishna says, in the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this yajna, because by its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. And then 11th verse, the demigods being pleased by sacrifices will also please you, and thus by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. Of course, later on in the chapter, after this, chapter 9, Krishna clarifies the real Lord of Sacrifice. He begins in this chapter, but he makes it very clear in the 9th chapter, in the 23rd verse, whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but it is offered without true understanding. In the next verse, I am the only enjoyer and master of all sacrifices. Therefore, those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature fall down. So there's no solution in offering yajna to demigods. But here in the 8th chapter, Arjuna is asking who is actually the Lord of yajna or sacrifice and how the Lord is residing in the body of a living entity. As if he doesn't know this. He's a twice-born kshatriya. He's been trained. He's on the same chariot with Arjuna, with Krishna, and he chose Krishna over the 14 Akshini divisions of Dwarka. So he knows something about this. So he's, it's a little rhetorical, some of the questions, but he's having, and at this point, anyway, it's a progression. So Srila Prabhupada points out that Arjuna called Krishna Madhusudan in this verse, and he's famous for killing the demon Madhu. So Srila Prabhupada says Arjuna wants to clear all doubts which are compared to demons. And Srila Prabhupada points out the importance of the word Prayanakale in this verse. And that's at the time of death. He says because it is very significant, because whatever we do in life will be tested at the time of death. So that's something I was hearing on a recording today of Srila Prabhupada. I'll get to that in a minute. I'm just going to go on with the purport. Arjuna is very anxious to know those who are constantly engaged in Krishna. He wants to know about those persons that are constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness. What should be their position at that final moment? And at the time of death, all the bodily functions are disrupted. Everything's chaos. And the mind is not in a proper condition. So you better be detached at that point, or you're going to be overwhelmed by the bodily, it's like drowning or something, the mucus in the throat. I mean, it's a very disturbed, or it can be. I mean, some people die a very peaceful death. Well, I'm going to get to that one in a minute, but sometimes it's not like that. So King Kulashekar is worried that he's not going to be able to remember the Supreme Lord if his body has given him too much trouble. So he expresses this anxiety in the Mukunda Mala Stotra, it's the 33rd verse. O Lord Krishna, at this moment, let the royal swan of my mind, enter the tangled stems of the lotus of your feet. How will it be possible for me to remember you at the time of death when my throat will be choked up with mucus, bile, and air? So, back to Srila Prabhupada's purport. So, Maharaj Kulashekar says to the Lord, now my mind is undisturbed and I'm quite healthy. If I die immediately, thinking of your lotus feet, then I'm sure of my devotional service, my meditation will be perfect due to my devotional service. But if my natural death is very disturbed, I don't know what will happen. So better I die immediately, is his prayer. And then Arjuna's question is how a person can fix his mind on Krishna's lotus feet at such a time. And that's a great question. Actually, a fair part of this chapter is dedicated to answering this question. There's no guarantees. We just had we're hearing deaths in the community this morning. We heard about Charlie and in the news. Steve Jobs just died peacefully, according to his family statement, at the age of 56. This man's wealth was estimated to be over $8 billion. There's a commencement address, I don't know, maybe some of you have heard it, to the graduating class at Stanford, which was in 2005. And Jobs was very private kind of person. He didn't talk about himself publicly. But because he agreed to address the graduating class at Stanford, he gave them three lessons from his life. So he talked about himself. And at one point, he's adopted. That's a pretty rough entrance into the material world, but of course it all worked out. He was a bit, he went to Reed College. It turned out that he couldn't bear to see his adopted parents, their entire savings being thrown away when he didn't even know what he wanted in life. So he quit that and he started going to classes at Stanford. He just started dropping in to classes that he was interested in. Didn't care about the credits. He was just getting educated. They allow you to do that. And during that time, he was walking. He didn't have a car. He was poor. He was walking to the San Jose Temple for prasadam feast on Sunday night. And in the commencement address, he said he loved it, the feast. Sunday night feast at the temple. So this man was a strict vegan, vegetarian, and I just read one article where they pointed out that he even went to India at one point on pilgrimage. So I received an email this morning from a friend of mine, devotee. It opened up, well, Jobs just went to the netherworld. And netherworld means underworld, if we understand the term. But I rather thought Steve would probably qualify to get a human birth, in the middle planetary system for loving that prasadam. And he might even qualify for a vacation in the heavenly planets if the rest of his life was as disciplined as his eating and, you know, what he did for his work. He's known to be a very disciplined, the whole company is very disciplined. So, but Srila Prabhupada, he's set us up for something better than that. And we've promised to chant Krishna's name every day of our lives and to make the attempt to be Krishna conscious and to try to develop our love for Krishna. We have a target of remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. So how well we do that depends on how much we follow the process and how much we act whimsically. The ideal situation is to be under the guidance of a self-realized spiritual master, and that's the sure path back home, back to Godhead. But as householders and devotees living outside of a temple in a Krishna conscious community, it's difficult to do much direct service or chant more than 16 rounds because of the maintenance issues. But we do what we can. So anyway, we read in Bhagavatam and other places how great devotees retire at some point to engage full-time in Krishna consciousness, like some kings like Parikshit Maharaj and Bharat Maharaj, and Krishna Maharaj, Katvanga, and others. These are kings with great opulence. They just leave everything and they to absorb themselves because they know that their life is winding down and they're preparing for that moment when they're going to leave this body. So if we have sufficiently entered the fire of Krishna consciousness, that will be our consciousness at the time of death. If we engage at all in the lower modes, it's a dangerous game. And that may show up in our mind at the time of death if we're not, and because we're not the controllers of all this. We have to, we have to be true to this process. Also, the ideal situation is to leave this body surrounded by loving devotees. And one case recently that stands out in my mind, and I was fortunate enough to know Mula Prakriti Didi, but she lived her life in such a way that she was surrounded by devotees at the end of her life in Vrindavan. Another dear godbrother of mine, Tushta Krishna Prabhu, left this world right at the beginning of a kirtan in the next room in a house on Oahu, and a tear glided down his cheek at the moment he left his body. Jayananda Prabhu had devotees taking care of him in L.A. at the time of his passing, and they were playing recordings of Srila Prabhupada's kirtans 24/7. This didn't happen every morning, but it just so happened that the pujari sent a devotee over that morning with a garland from Lord Jagannath from the temple. And when Srila Prabhupada heard that Jayananda had passed and inquired about the circumstances surrounding his passing, a few days later, he announced to the LA community and to the entire movement that Jayananda Prabhu was going back to Godhead. And he qualified that by saying that even if he had a tinge of material desire, he would go to the heavenly planets, burn it off, and then go back home. I mean, that was in a letter that was written by Prabhupada. It's probably somewhere, you know, that could be found. I haven't seen it online, but actually, Jayananda Prabhu's disappearance is also supposed to be observed every year. Srila Prabhupada said that also. And Jayananda Prabhu's example and dedication and success in advancing to such a pure state of Krishna consciousness should give all the Western devotees so much encouragement. So this morning I heard Janice Priya Prabhu say that Charlie just passed away. If you would like to say something, Janice, you're on the call. You want to say anything about that? Were you playing recordings of Prabhupada for him, or did you see it coming? Is he muted?
Sorry, that's my fault.
Okay.
I forgot to unmute, sorry.
Not a problem.
Leave it on the control, on the steering wheel here, and I got to... let's see. Sorry, this is... not my usual computer, so it's complicated. I'm getting there. But, you know, he can always unmute by pressing...
Okay, we'll talk about it at the end. I'll just finish up here.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I did it. Sorry.
Good.
Yeah, the Star 6, Ramananda, when you mute everybody, the Star 6 doesn't work.
It's supposed to.
Try it one time. I tried
okay,
it.
Anyway.
Anyhow, yeah, I think Charlie... Prabhu, he knew he was about to leave his body, and you know, he was chanting 20 rounds a day, attending the classes here morning and evening, and we had daily kirtans in his room, and he was following the Kadasi religiously, and the rest of the time he listened to Prabhupada lectures, and you know, he was as good as he could be, and we feel actually. I feel very happy for him that he's out of that body.
Right.
He was ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Everybody that ever met him has nothing but good things to say about him. You know, he's that the kind of person that had no enemies, never in his life. And anybody that met him only talks nice about him. So.
Hey.
He was really, really a very advanced devotee. I mean, he was married to Govinda Dasi for 6 years. So we all miss him. We all miss him and love him forever.
Okay. Good. Okay, so you're going to wait a few days. I think it's 11 days, and then you have some sort of...
Yeah,
you invite
10 days, and then you start doing the different offerings for 4 days.
Okay.
So we're having a service at the temple a week from Sunday.
Nice.
And then we're going to do the thing in Vrindavan where you feed 108 Brahmins or Babajis, whatever, Brijabazis.
Wow.
And then I think we're going to do the Bhagavatam too, where this one devotee recites the whole Bhagavatam for a week. In his memory, and
wow, yeah. So he's there.
He got the full coverage with all the extras.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I have no idea.
Yeah, that's what
anyway.
I was thinking. Kind of envious.
Okay, thank you for that.
Sorry.
So, yeah, all of us. We're going to have to face the same moment, every one of us. You know, this is Martyaloka. You know, nobody gets out of here alive. So it's the big test at the end, as Prabhupada says. So whatever we've done in our lives shows up at that moment. And sometimes they say your whole life flashes before you. It's just the important moments, the decisions you made. You've arrived at a certain position of consciousness, and so hopefully those are good choices and Krishna conscious choices. So we should associate with serious devotees and prepare as much as we can, as sincerely as we can, to try to become as Krishna conscious as we can before that time. So there's a few verses. I'm going to just read the English verses in this eighth chapter. The fourth verse is, physical nature is endlessly mutable. The universe is the cosmic form of the Lord, and I am that Lord represented as the super soul dwelling in the heart of every embodied being. So that's the answer to the Lord, the Jagya, the Lord of Sacrifice, and where he lives in the body of the human being. And it's interesting that the Lord of Sacrifice is in each and every heart, and he is a witness to our daily sacrifices to him, or lack thereof. You know, he's right there to witness everything. So is an interesting verse, second to last verse in Shushupanishad. Let this temporary body be burnt to ashes, and let the life, the air of life, be merged with the totality of air. Now, O my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices, and because you are the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I have done for you. And then the fifth verse of this eighth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and whoever at the end of his life quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature of this, there is no doubt. And then the sort of complement verse is the next verse, whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Seventh verse, therefore Arjuna should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting with your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me. You will attain me without doubt. So Krishna is taking the opportunity to drive home his instruction to Arjuna to reinforce the idea that he can fight while remembering Krishna. He's fighting for Krishna on this chariot. So eighth verse, he who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. The ninth verse is a beautiful meditation. It's amazing how these verses, they just kind of, you don't see them every time you go through the chapter, but this one stood out for me this time. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and he is transcendental beyond this material nature. So Krishna gives us a meditation here for the common man to remember the personal form of the Lord. Of course, devotees at different stages may meditate on the form or qualities or even pastimes of the Lord. Then I heard Srila Prabhupada in a recording say, at the beginning of the yoga process, he was talking about yama. At the beginning of the eightfold process, yoga process, which is practically impossible to perfect in this age, he said, Srila Prabhupada said, one must give up sex life. And the only form of yoga where one can even engage in regulated sex life to produce Krishna-conscious children is Bhakti Yoga. And again, Krishna is telling Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, he has to turn his back on sensual engagements. He has to try for detachment from the external environment. But Srila Prabhupada has given us a wonderful process that's simply joyful. We just have to follow it, apply it. Prasadam, you know, feasting, chanting, and dancing. We don't even have to practice difficult austerities in this age. We just chant and be happy. We be satisfied with, you know, what comes easily. And Sankirtan Jagya is a sacrifice for Kali Yuga, and we should engage like that as much as possible with like-minded and serious devotees. Hare Krishna. So if anybody wants to say anything at this point.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Hare Krishna, sir.
Sure.
Oh, this, in respect to the discussion about the material world, there is one stage, nine pandit. It composed three verses, which I just want to read. One is Ajaran Maratrakya Gyan Vidyan Atancha Chintayit Grita Ivakeshu Mitchuna Dhaman Acharit. So he said that an intelligent person should strive for education and wealth as though free from old age and death, but he should perform a religious act as if death has caught him by the hair. It's not as if death has caught one by the seeker, that one should perform one's religious duty, one's spiritual duty. Because death, as we said, that death can come at any moment. And then you also say that Samsara Visa Viksha Shia Dile Dwe Eva Rasat Pali Kavyamita Rasaswara Sangama Sajyama Saha. That the poisonous tree of the material world yields only two succulent fruits, nectarian literature and friendly association. And then Sat Sangha Kisave Bhakti Ganga Basi Nijamat. That in this useless material world, there are only three valuable things: saintly association, devotion to Lord Krishna, and bathing in the Ganges. So these are the three verses composed by, many verses from Uttar Pradesh. These are the beginning of this, one of these. Literature, very
literature. That's a song by Narottam?
No. This is on Narayana Pandit.
Oh, Narayana
Pandit is a sage that lives from several hundred years ago. It's a long time ago. This is from Uttar Pradesh. Uttar Pradesh was composed on almost more than 1,000 years ago.
Okay.
It wasn't earlier.
Hmm.
Hare Krishna.
Sure.
Prabhu, you put some emphasis on, you know, devotees, that it's important to be surrounded by devotees when we pass away. And I just maybe wanted to say something about it, that it might be that it's very individual, because we know such a devotee like Ayendra, he passed away alone. And then Sadaputa, and also, I believe, Gopi Paramadana too. So I just wanted to say something about it, that it's maybe not a bad thing, but maybe it's like individual desire, because we heard that Ayendra was talking about it, and he would mention sometimes that he would like to die alone. So anyway, just wanted to say.
Sure. Now, Bhakti Tirthamaraj, the African Swami, we love him very much. Yeah, he decided to do a very public, passing. And it was hard to, he had the video cameras going. It was hard to look at. I can't look at the video of Prabhupada at the final stage. I can't look at it. I don't want to remember Prabhupada like that. And I also had a hard time looking at some of this video that they took of Tirthamaraj. And I just want to remember him differently. And I appreciate his courage and his openness. And, you know, when he came here, he told us he had this incredible infection in his foot. The doctors had never seen anything like it when he first got diagnosed with it. And he just came here with the idea, you know, he's praying to Krishna whether he should fight it or he should just accept it and die gracefully. So he at the end, he decided it was his time. He's going to accept it and die gracefully. And so he did that, but it was an incredible, you know, it was an incredible amount of pain. Radhana Swami was there. I'm sure he appreciated that. And by their Hari Katha, he was able to block out a lot of the pain. But, I agree. I often think it is an ideal situation where, you know, at least you have a few devotees there that are taking care of things around you. The environment's favorable. You know, there may be, I know in Trishta's case, they had a picture suspended from the ceiling at a particular angle, so he didn't even have to sit up. He could see one of his favorite pictures of Krishna anytime he looked up. And, you know, just creating as favorable environment as possible for that time. You know, King Kulashekar is concerned about, you know, the disturbance of the body, but, you know, we... you know, the things that are going on around us maybe also can help, you know.
Good. Can I say something? Sorry.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
Yeah, my personal opinion is that I think it's better, of course, apart from somebody like Srila Prabhupada, who was surrounded by his disciples when he was living the planet, you know, great personality. Apart from that, the I think it's better we actually live our day-to-day life in such a way that, you know, we should prepare ourselves for death any day, which means being Krishna conscious. Because mm-hmm. if you're Krishna conscious, it doesn't really matter when we live, who's with us, who's not with us. Even if we are not Krishna conscious, and many devotees can come and be with us, I mean, it doesn't mean that, okay, we're going to attend the God. Of course, it's very auspicious if people actually come and chant your name, just like Ajami was chanting, and then the Yamadutani heard him chanting. I mean, Vishnu thought that they heard his chanting. So, you know, I mean, many devotees who have passed away in the individual way, their passing is no less glorious than someone who was surrounded by, you know, many devotees chanting around them, you know, and all that. So I think it's just a matter of how much they were. So, you know, we have developed our Krishna consciousness, how much we actually Krishna conscious. Because, you know, as I was mentioning yesterday, that devotee who is Krishna conscious, for him, death or living, it doesn't make any difference. You know, when the Prabhupada was saying that Jiva Marova, it doesn't matter if you're alive or dead. If you're Krishna conscious, it doesn't really matter, it's the same thing. You're serving Krishna now, and then when you leave the body, you continue serving Krishna. So it's just a matter of being Krishna conscious instead of waiting for, you know, for us to be, when we are done and then we expect to be surrounded by devotees. Even somebody like Prabhupada, who was surrounded by devotees, that's his mercy that is given to the devotees. Thereby teaching devotees, you know, how to live their body by being Krishna conscious. Prabhupada was always Krishna conscious. And I was there in Mayapur in 1996. When Srila Govinda Maharaj, when he actually left his body, he was speaking Bhagavatam, he was talking about the intimate Radha Krishna Lila, and then he came to a point whereby Radha and Krishna, they met each other, there's eye to eye union. So when Maharaj said, now Radha and Krishna met, eye to eye union, they met now, and then now I'm going to start speaking. So everybody chant. So everybody just, and when everybody was chanting, they just left his body just like that. You know, so he said to Pia, when you want to leave his body. He finished talking about Krishna, there was no signal, he just said, okay, everybody chant, and then everybody chanting, and then he left his body, just like that. He closed his eyes, and then he was gone. So that is Siddha Mahatma, that's how they live, you know, like that.
Who is that? You know what?
That is like Go Govinda Swami. Go Govinda
Swami. Okay. That was in Mayapur.
That was in Mayapur. That was right in the, on the same day of Bhaktisiddhanta's disappearance.
Okay. Yeah, you know, maybe I went too far there, but I think sometimes, you know, I haven't been around a lot of devotees that passed away, but it seems like, you know, I have my own idea about it. It's not necessarily everybody needs to follow that or anything, but... Okay.
Well, I pray that devotees should be with me when I'm leaving. That is my prayer, of course. Hopefully somebody will be there when I'm leaving my body. The main thing is to be Krishna conscious now. Not to wait till, in a Kulakshetra Maharaj, you are reading that Kulakshetra Maharaj, he was making that prayer. And Lord, let me leave my body now because I'm very healthy now. I can think of you nicely. So just let me leave now instead of waiting for the old age where we have it's very difficult to think of you, so much pain and all that.
Right.
Who is the one that asked to know when he was going to leave his body, and they said he was going to leave his body at that moment?
Muchukunda. Muchukunda fought with the demigods, and they were so pleased they offered him a benediction. And he just asked the perfect question. He said, how much time do I have? When am I leaving this body? And they said, you have 1 minute. Or they, you know, you have a very short time.
Yeah.
And took off his helmet and took a lotus position and rolled his eyes back, went in samadhi and left his body. That's a great, you know, that's a great story, you know. You know,
yeah.
So if you got, you know, somebody very powerful, you know, you have three wishes or one wish or something, you know, you could waste that, you know, on something stupid, you know, but he did the right thing.
Yeah, the whole first chapter of the second canto probably is all about that, how to prepare yourself for death. The whole first chapter of the second canto. When Sukadeva Goswami was replying to the Mahapariksit question. That is, we just read that chapter again and again. It tells us how to prepare for death. And because we can die, we are dying at any moment, we are dying.
Yeah, take care of the present, and it will take care of the future for you.
Yeah.
I think I'll be getting a manual to go. Yeah, you know, I heard Mother Gandhari, I think, she was saying that... I think she was talking about Kadranga Maharaj, and she said that he was on the higher planets, and when he got the benediction, he was to live. he was to live for a moment. But
okay,
this was on the higher planet, so when he came into the earth planet, that moment was like an extended period. So is that the same? Is that a different story? Is it the same story?
That's the same one. You got it right. I was just. It's been so long since I've heard the story that the moment in the heavenly planets, like one day is 6 months here, so one moment may expand like that. And so he might have had a few, you know, little time, but not much.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
cut. Okay, well, thank you, Vidagda.
Okay.
Very nice. Thank you.
Sure.
Waiting to hear your class tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
Jai, Srila Prabhupada. Haribol.
Haribol.